before I actually get to where I'm trying to go. So we may go through this a little bit quick. Y'all know how it goes. Write it down. Read it for yourself later. You can read the whole chapter. But if you got your Bibles this morning, or Beth will put it on the screen for us, I think I want to go to 1 John 1:7, I think, which I may read more than just verse 7. Yeah, I think I want to start in verse 5. I didn't have that wrote down that way, though, Beth. Verse 5, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light." We read that last week and the week before, too, right? Remember? Another place where it says God is light. It says, "And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." The Amplified Bible says, "Do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now let's look at, let me just quote this one to you. John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "Jesus is the light of the world, and if we follow him, we won't walk in darkness." Now he's not talking, when he's talking about the light and when he's talking about darkness, he's not talking about like a light bulb. He's not talking about like the sun. How many knows, the best way I can explain it to you, you ever had somebody telling you something and they're trying to get you to understand it or see it and you're like, oh, what happens? It's like a light bulb went off, right? What do you say usually? I see that. I get it. That's what he's talking about, not the natural light. He's talking about the illumination of your understanding or light coming to you. You get what I'm saying? But now when he's talking about darkness, he's not talking about the absence of natural light. I mean, as the Bible talks about it in Ephesians chapter, 6, that it talks about how you got the rulers of the darkness, right? The kingdom of darkness and all of that, spiritual wickedness in heaven. He's talking about an absence of that light, an absence of that illumination that Jesus Christ brings. You understand what I'm talking about? Okay, because I got to do this part quick because I want to go somewhere else. Psalm 119, verse 130. It says, talking about the Lord, it says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read this in the Amplified Version. If you don't have it, Beth will put it on the screen for you. Really didn't want to read this whole thing, but I think we need to. He says, "Therefore, be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children. Imitate their father. And walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a slain offering and sacrifice to God for you so that it became a sweet fragrance. But immorality, sexual vice, and all impurity of lustful, rich, wasteful living or greediness must not even be named among you, as is fitting and proper among saints, God's consecrated people. Let there be no filthiness, obscenity, indecency, nor foolish and sinful, silly and corrupt talk, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting or becoming." Now, all these things he's talking about, they're darkness. Right? They're not of God, so they're not of light. He's talking about darkness here. It says, "But instead voice your thankfulness to God, for be sure of this, that no person practicing sexual vice or impurity in thought or in life." See, a lot of times we like to categorize what we think is sin. Actually, and we'll read it in just a few minutes maybe, explain it this way, sin is a violation of light. That's why it's not the same for everybody. Because how many knows, you may have light that I don't have yet. I may have light that you don't have yet, but for me to violate that light, go against my own conscience, what I know is the right, that's what sin is to me. It's not necessarily like what we like to talk about, the drinking and the smoking and the going to the bars and all this other stuff. He said there, even in thought. See, Jesus said if you look upon a woman, right, with lust in your heart, you've already done it. So he's not just talking about everything that we necessarily do. Now let's get back on my subject here. That was just a little footnote there. He says, in thought or in life, or one person is covetous who has lustful desire for the property of others and is greedy for gain, for he, in effect, is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one delude and deceive you with empty excuses and groundless arguments for these sins. For through these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of rebellion and disobedience, so do not associate or be sharers with them. For once you were darkness. He's talking about the born-again people, right? You used to be darkness. I walked in darkness. I had no light whatsoever according to the light of God's word or the illumination of the Holy Spirit. So he says, for you once were darkness. He says, but now you are light in the Lord. He said, now walk as children of light. Lead the lives of those native born to the light. For the fruit, the effect, the product of the light, or the spirit, consists in every form of kindly goodness, uprightness of heart, and trueness of life. And try to learn in your experience what is pleasing to the Lord. Let your lives be constant proofs of what is most acceptable to Him. Then he says, take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of what? Darkness. He says, but instead let your lives be so in contrast as to expose and reprove and convict them. For he starts talking about, for it's a shame to even talk about those. Verse 13, he says, but when anything is exposed and reproved by the light, it is made visible and clear. And where everything is visible and clear, there is light. Therefore, he says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine. Make a day dawn upon you and give you light. Now, I think I want to, Beth, just put it up on the screen for us. We won't turn there because I'm trying to do this kind of quick. James 4:17, please. It says, so any person who knows what is right but does not do it, to him it's what? So what that is, that's what I said a while ago. It's a violation of the light that you have. Now, let's look at James chapter 1. We're going somewhere, y'all. Just hang on. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. I'm going to start in verse 19. It says, understand this, my beloved brethren. He says, let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry. For man's anger does not promote the righteousness God wishes and requires. So get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit receive and welcome the word, which implanted and rooted in your hearts contains the power to save your souls. This is part of where I'm going. He says, but be doers of the word, obey the message, and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. For if any man only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror. For he thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off and promptly forgets what he was like. But he who looks carefully into the law, to the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it and preserves in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience. Now, what is that saying? Remember, I believe it was last week, and a lot of y'all looked at me a little bit funny, because we tell y'all, listen to preaching. Don't just listen to us. You need many voices out there that is of the Lord. You know, and I tell y'all, you know, don't just listen to anything or anybody. Be led. The Holy Spirit knows what you need to hear, right, and all of that. So I know a lot of you, and we're talking all over the internet too, all over the place. So I'm not just talking to y'all. We live in a day of information. No generation has ever lived in the one that we have now. There's nothing you can Google. Come on now. We got how many, what would you call it, channels of cable? Oh, did y'all feel that? I'm not going to get on your TV. But we got boo-koodles of cable, internet, Google, satellite, all this stuff. Information, information, information. Entertainment. How many knows that sometimes then when we do all that and we come to church and we hear the word of the Lord, it's like, woo, that was a good message. Glory to God. Get home and somebody asks you, what did they preach on today? I don't remember, but it was good. You're a forgetful doer. You only heard. And what did he say? It will do you no good. I'm talking to me too. I've got two sermons that I've been listening to all week. Over and over and over. Because see, the tendency of the flesh is, give me another one, that was good. Give me another one, that was good. Give me another one, that was good. Here, let me send you this one. Here's another one. How much of it did you do? See, he didn't say you're going to be blessed in what you hear. He said, I'm going to be blessed in what I hear and I do. Well, I'm working on it. What is that? I'm just asking what I've said it before myself. I'm working on what does that mean? That's you haven't done it, right? Ain't that what that means? Because in order for me to be working on it means I haven't done it yet. Well, I'm praying about it. What does that mean? Y'all getting too quiet. Y'all gonna help me with this or not? I'm praying about it. I don't do much counseling anymore. One, I'm not the counselor. I don't find the scripture that says the pastor's wife is the counselor. I find it where the Holy Spirit is the counselor. Now, I'm not talking about I can't help you, talk with you, stuff like that. But over the years, I had one ask me recently. They don't come to church half the time. When they do come, they don't do what they hear. And I'm not judging these people. You can see fruit, right? We'll know them by their fruit. And I don't doubt that they love the Lord. But when you don't do the light that you get, no more light comes. And our entire walk in life is supposed to be progressively becoming more and more like Christ, right? So they don't come to church half the time. They tell me out their own mouth. Half the time they don't read their Bible, unless they're feeling it. They don't do what they hear. And then they come by and ask me, am I open to counseling if they need it? I just really want to go. I don't know about y'all. I didn't say I'd do that anymore. But that's really what it makes you feel like. Because, see, I can't help you. I can't do for you. You can't do for me. So then when you take up my time, a lot of times all people want you to do is listen to their problems and either tell them what they want to hear or they will hear what you got to say and then they'll decide if they're going to do it or not, which means nothing. All you've done is wasted my time, wasted your time, and deceived yourself a little bit more, according to James. See, the devil's not involved in this. He says you become self-deceived. Because, see, when you hear something enough without doing it, and then you hear more preaching on it, you'll be the loudest hallelujah in the building. Woo! I agree with that. Well, what does that mean? What does that do? You agreed with it? Come on now. You agreed with it? What does that do for you? What does that do for me? Anything? Makes me self-deceived. Because, see, I like it. I believe it's the truth. I agree with it. I amen it, but I don't do it. And can't figure out for the life of me why my life is still in the same mess. Why my finances are still in the same mess. Come on now. See, we all here, we believe prosperity is for us in every area, in our marriages, in our finances, in our relationships, right? All prosperity, we believe it to the core of our being. And we believe the number one of our finances is what? Tithing. Why don't you do? I talk to people all over the world now. Not just here. You believe tithing, right? You read it in the Bible, right? You're convinced of it in your own heart and mind, right? Then why don't you do? Well, I'm praying about it. Back to that again, are we? It ain't time for praying, honey. When you know, when you see it in the Word, and you're convinced in your own heart by the Holy Ghost, it's time to what? Pray about it some more for 5 more years. It's time to do. Why? He said the doer is the one that will be blessed. Not the hearer. Not the prayer. There's a time for praying. But when you know it ain't time to pray, it's time to do. Because see, then you become self-deceived when you don't. And when did people get on tithe? Oh yeah, I agree with that. Praise the Lord. And you try to claim the promises that belongs to a tither. But do you realize if God is going to do something out of the ordinary for you, He has to be bound up to His Word of a reason why He can. That's why it's not for everybody. It's for the doer. Right? Just like giving. You know, a lot of people, they'll quote that scripture. What is it? Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given. And they do it with conviction. How much do you give? And I'm not talking about your kids. Oh, that struck a chord. Did you feel that? See, it's easy for me to give to Travis and Beth and my grandkids. But what about them that I really don't care for? They get on my last nerve, feels like. You know, you really just don't want to see them at Christmas. Y'all not saying nothing. I'm the only one that has these problems, huh? What about when the Lord says, go bless them with a hondo? And you're like, no, Jesus, I rebuke you, devil. I thought you give. I thought you was a giver. See, Jesus gave to the unlucky. When it didn't feel good, thank you, Lord, that you did. He calls us to do the same thing. Well, I need to pray about that. God, let's get off of that praying. I need to pray about that some more. Do you really now? You know if you know. But see what we like to do? Play games. What was that? Was that the Holy Ghost? It's the same voice that you heard when it was blessing you. And boy, you knew then. You knew Pastor was talking to you, and he didn't even have to call your name. But what is that? I need to pray about this one some more. It ain't time for you to pray about it. Or we'll hear messages, and we'll talk about them, and talk about them, and talk about them, talk about them, re-preach them to our family and friends. What'd that get you? Well, I took 10 pages of notes. What'd that get you? See all this stuff? That's why I said last week that you would be better off listening to one sermon a day, meditating on that, chewing that thing, eating it, listening to it over and over and over until you actually do what you heard in the sermon that was so good to you. Because, see, after you listen to 6, 7, 8, however many sermons and watch on TV and internet and all of that, and different ones on different subjects, by the time you get through with all that, which one are you going to do? And you do that for 360 to 365 days a year. How much self-deception do you think we get? Possibly a lot. I'm not telling you don't listen to sermons. Y'all know we want you to. Everybody should. God's Word is our food, right? But then Jesus told him, he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He said, and it is to do the will of my Father. Because so we don't have the blessing till we do what he said to do when the light comes. See, just like this morning, there's possibly y'all hearing things I ain't even saying. The Holy Ghost is always on his job. He knows where every person is. He knows exactly what you need. And he knows what light you have, what you don't, and what light you've been violating. So wherever you know that you've been violating light, repent of that and go be a doer of it. And if you feel like you can't, because we can't in ourselves, that's the very reason why Jesus had to come and send the Holy Spirit to help us. We lean on Him. We trust Him. We seek Him. Help me, right? When I got born again, I had no. I don't know if you could get any more Bible illiterate than me and Scotty, and he had a little bit of indoctrination against some truth that had to be broken down. And I had very little to none. And how many knows, even if you know the Scripture and you've been in church all your life, you can ask Travis and Monty, you'd have no light in it. Anyway, I get born again. The first thing I wanted to do, Johnny, was go to church and read my Bible. That was illuminated to me. If you don't have that, I seriously question if you're even born again. Right? Hear people say, well, I don't like going to church. You're not going to like heaven. That's going to be the greatest church service for eternity we've ever had, with all kinds of people, and them you don't like. They're going to be there too, possibly. But I had a desire. I had illumination. Read my Bible and go to church. And I did it. And the more I did it, every time I would go to church, my pastor would preach on those things I read in the Bible that I did not understand. And I would get in light. Light would come. And as I would do that, more light would come. More light. And do you realize that's how I got here? And that's how I'm going to continue to get wherever else that I'm supposed to go? So it's the same for everybody. But see, when we don't do what we hear, the Bible says we deceive ourselves. We think we got it. We think we do it, but we really don't. And then we can't figure out, why is this not working for me? Because we're not doing it. Right? So, and the thing about it, it's not just one time doing it. Just like tithing, you're not going to tithe what one time, more than likely, and a Holy Ghost dump truck back up to your front door and dump a load of the lottery. More than likely, it's not going to happen that way. But in your consistency lies the power. You being a consistent prayer, consistent fellowship with Him, right? He said, as we walk in the light, we get more light. As He is in the light. It's kind of like this. If Johnny's got the flashlight and it's pitch dark outside and I'm following Johnny close, I can see. But it's when Johnny's way out there and I'm way back here, Johnny's still got the light. But I'm in the dark and I can't see. And when you're in the dark and you can't see is when you stumble around. That's when you get in trouble. Y'all done made me forget where I was at. Let's just start at 25 again. It says, but he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who, what? Forgets. One of the ways you can't forget is you meditate. You cannot forget what you're meditating on day and night, right? He said, and then you'll make your way prosperous. He says, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his what? Doing in his life of obedience. You might say, well, I can't afford to tithe. Well, you're never going to get where you can. Well, I need this. Well, who's the provider? See, tithing is not just about money. Yes, God uses that. He uses His people, finances, kingdom, different things like that. But see, tithing reveals, do I trust God or not? It reveals my heart. Do I love Him or do I love me? Y'all not saying nothing. Do I trust Him or do I trust in mine and my husband's ability to take care of us? Who did He say trust in? He said, trust in the Lord with all my heart, right? Lean not into my own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. Just do what I tell you to do. Trust me and obey me, and I will bring it to pass. And I understand. Been there, done that. When it looks like you don't have it, you can't. Well, God understands. God understands I can't afford it. Tell that to the widow woman in Zarephath. Right? That would be on the front page of the newspaper today, Johnny. Preacher steals family's last meal. Didn't God know it was her last meal? That's why He sent him. But she had a choice to make, didn't she? He goes over there, And he tells Elijah, he said, I've commanded a widow woman. I don't know if she knew it or not. Doesn't say. But God had already commanded it. So it's supposed to be. So he gets over there and he says, hey, I'm paraphrasing. Hey, bring me a cup of water. That's like asking for gold. They're in a drought, in a famine. Right? She gets him some water. Comes back, sucks down the water, and he says, hey, I'm kind of hungry too. Bring me something to eat. Bring me a Big Mac or something. I'm sorry, buddy, but all I've got is one biscuit. Enough to make that much. A biscuit. Me and my son, we're going to have it. Now, I'm paraphrasing. Me and my son, we're going to have it, and we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. What did he say? Bring me one first. What's Matthew 6:33 say? Come on now. First. Right? His kingdom, not mine. If I seek him in his first, he always takes care of mine. Ain't that what he told him in Haggai? When they're saying, God, it's not time for us to build your house. It's not time to give offerings into your kingdom. It's not time to buy Bibles for the lost. I got to have a new air conditioner system. Please. When you got people over there dying for putting him first. See, we don't know much about that over here yet. But it's true anyway, right? So he told her, said, bring me one first. She had a choice to make. It's either me and my son, or it's this so-called preacher man. I don't know him, don't know who he is, don't even care. But how many knows? Evidently, she had a little something in here. And what she do? She makes a choice, and she says, I'm going to do it. We're going to die anyway. You understand your light's going to be cut off anyway because you don't got enough, so you might as well go on to obey a God and believe him to do what he said he would do. Right? She goes, she makes him a cake, she gives it to him. And according to Scripture, her meal barrel began to fill, right? And it did not run out. He's more than enough. But see, a lot of us, we change the word today. You got preachers behind the pulpit, they change the word. I had a family member going to a church one time, and they didn't have nothing much. But they had decided they was going to tithe and give like the Bible says. They gave their tithe and their offering. The pastor and his wife brought half of it back to them. Ooh, did y'all feel that? Real quiet about that one. Brought it back to them and told them, said, here, we know y'all need this. We understand. We don't do the full tithe ourselves. So here, take some of yours back. They're telling me this story. And I looked them right in their face. I said, get out of that church. Because if they are telling you that about what God calls the holy, what else are they telling you? The mind, the carnal, the world would say, if you don't have it or you don't have enough, you're the one that should not tithe and give. But see, God's way is right the opposite of the world. They are the very ones. If anybody should be tithing and giving to receive the promises, they are it. And I'm not just telling you what I have lived this. Been there when it looked, cut our phones off, different things, and we tithe anyway. Was it hard? Yes. Did I understand? No. You don't always understand. That's why I said, don't lean till you don't understand it. It'll reason you right out of the blessing of God. But he says there, the doer will be blessed. And I'm not just talking about tithing and all. It's whatever light you have. Whatever light it is. Some people, I'm telling you, if they had two positive thoughts in a row, they'd have a cramp in their brain. Because they know to control their thoughts. How many knows if you control your thoughts, you control your mouth? James said if you control your mouth, you'll control your whole body. Is that right? But you got some people, they know to control their thoughts, but they won't do it. Number one, it's work. And when you start doing it, you may have to cast down a certain thought or 15 thoughts 100 times a day. But you'll get good at whatever you practice. Then you'll begin to see them when they're out here. And they start coming at you like the Bible talks about the fiery darts, to where it's not that hard anymore. But see, when you violate that light that you know about controlling your thoughts, because the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 8, what to think on. He cares about everything. Right? If it ain't lovely, don't think on it. If it ain't pure, don't think on it. If it's not just, don't think on it. If it's not virtuous, don't think on it. So right there, you got a bouncer at the door. And then whenever these thoughts come, if they're not any of that and praiseworthy and all this other stuff, immediately cast it out. Replace it with whatever the Word of God says about the situation or what the thought is, right? Because see, when you don't do that, you deceive yourself and you can't figure out why you can't control your thoughts. You can't control your emotions. You can't control your words. And then you can't control your whole body. And don't ask me how I know all that. Y'all watched me live it, right? And y'all said, praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Let's see here. What was that, James 4? No, that was James 1. We did 4. Let's look at Matthew 7. See what Jesus said here about this. And listen, whatever light you have and you violate that, it's not going to be good for you. I don't care what it is. Yeah, Matthew 7. I'm going to start reading in verse 24. How'd I have that amplified? What? King James. Okay. Verse 24, this is Jesus talking, it's read. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and what? Doeth them. Means you didn't just hear them. Amen them. Hallelujah them. Right? Share them on Facebook. Y'all come on. We do all this, don't we? He said, you do them. All right, look what he says. He says, I will liken him unto a wise man. How many in here you want to be wise? I want to be wise with the wisdom of God. It says, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. How many know storms of life come, whether you're saved, you're not saved, you're a doer of the word, or you're not a doer? Jesus said, long as we live here, we're going to have trouble. He says, and they beat upon that house, and it what? It did not fall. It fell not. For it was what? Being a doer of the Word of God will make you stable. Will make your life stable. You won't be tossed to and fro, right? He says here, all these things that's going to come when the winds start blowing, when cancer attacks. Come on, because it does. Now, we're redeemed from it, but don't mean the Bible didn't say weapons won't form. He just said against the doers. See, and it, you might think, well, so-and-so, that was a good Christian. How do you know? All you know was what you saw. You don't live with them on the inside of them. Right? So people's lives tell us whether they're doers or not. My life tells you whether I'm a doer or not. Why? Because my house is either falling or it's not falling when my kids ain't doing right. Right? And then they come right back. Let's go on here with this. Verse 26. And everyone that heareth these, so everybody's hearing it, sayings of mine, and doeth them not. You pray on it. You think about it. You even preach them. Come on. Shall be likened unto a what? I don't want to be a foolish man or woman. Which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended. The same things are coming. And the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell. And great was the fall of it. See, these are very familiar. Most of us probably in here could quote them. But see, how many? It's not in how much scripture you can quote. How many knows the devil knows the word? He quoted it to the word himself. Right? What was it? Luke 4, I think it was. Over there in the wilderness. So he knows the word. It does him no good because he's not a doer of it. Let's go on here before I run out of time. Let's read the same thing. Luke 6. It says basically the same thing. Let's see what Luke has to say about it. Do you know the Bible says let every word be established by two or more witnesses? So this is a proven thing when we read it in Matthew and in Luke at the same time, right? Saying the same thing. That's two witnesses, two different ones saying the same thing. See, in a court of law, if I get up there and I test, say a wreck happens and they call me in to testify because I saw it, and I said, yeah, I saw him, you know, she had her blinker on her, but he just rammed her right in the bazooka. And then here comes Samantha, and she gets up there, and she says, yeah, I saw it too. Same thing. I saw her blinker on, but he didn't even try to slow down. I mean, it's me and her's the same witness, but we're two different ones. That's what the word is talking about. By two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Now, here in, six? That it? Lost my place here. Yeah. I want to start, I think it's 46. Do I got that King James or Amplified? King James. Now, he says just a little bit added to it. He says, and why call ye me what? And do what? See, there's many. They've been saved. Jesus is their Savior. But how many knows he's supposed to become my Lord? And my Lord means I do whatever he says to do. Whether it's convenient, not convenient, when I feel like I can, I ask him to help me, right? But he says, why do you call me Lord? He said, but you don't do the things that I tell you to do. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and he digged it deep. He calls sometimes. And laid the foundation on a rock. And the Bible says Jesus is the chief cornerstone, right? And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. I don't want to be shaken. It says, could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not, is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So we can see what kind of people we want to be, right? Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I've heard, and that's not the end of that. I'm going to finish quoting that in just a minute. I've seen people get born again and they don't go after the Lord, and I question whether or not they really got born again. How many knows repentance is not just coming to an altar and crying? It's you change. There's a nature change in your heart. Before I truly got born again, one of Scotty's sisters and her husband kept on at us. Wouldn't leave us alone about going to church, you know, and all of a sudden getting saved. So I just said what they said. I lasted 3 months, Monty. And that was all I wanted of that. Couldn't do it. Got no nature change. But Hosea 4:6, he said, my people die for knowledge. But then he goes on and he finishes that up, and it says, for you have rejected knowledge. See, we live in an age, and I've already said it, you can read books online, listen to any sermon just about that you choose to by any author that you choose to. Got, I don't know how many different translations of the Bible, and be careful of that. Some are not translations. Some are their paraphrasing, telling you what they think it means. I don't want that. Tell me, I'll determine, me and the Holy Ghost will determine what it means. He's the author of it, right? So I don't need somebody else's interpretation. Be careful with all that. But you got all different kinds of... There's no reason in the day and age that we live in to be ignorant. Ignorant don't mean you're stupid. Ignorant just means you don't know. But how many knows? You can find out. And don't just rely on the knowledge and things that we have. How many knows? The Holy Ghost is the best teacher. He knows everything. So don't just rely on the knowledge. But see, we live in a day and age in that where knowledge abounds. It's everywhere. But he says, but you've rejected it. There's people that should be in this house this morning that you're not here. But when Christmas is over, you're going to call and want us to help you pay your light bill. Sorry, we don't do that. And see, a lot of times we get a bad rap when we, you're supposed to love. Well, sinner, what you think you can tell me about the love of God? I'm supposed to be led. Right? I'm not supposed to give to everybody because they have a need. If I was, then need would be leading me, and I'm not supposed to be led by need. I'm not even supposed to be led by my own need. I'm supposed to be led by Him, right? See, they have the same opportunity. The same God. The same Jesus. The same Holy Ghost. The same Word. The same church, if you want it, if it's possible, right? What do they do? Reject. Knowledge came. Illumination came. And some people, that's all they have, just about go to church. But how many knows? God has the rest of your illumination, or some more of your illumination, at the house, the place that He's told you to go. Because He never told us to be an island to ourselves. And, oh, help me, Jesus. We've got fivefold ministers out there. Say they're fivefold ministers, and they are an island to the... Oh, I don't know. They don't tithe. A ministry. Are you kidding me? What scripture does that? First Imaginations? I mean, for real. Where is that? I'm fivefold ministry. We've had them come here. Call pastor, you know, they need a place to preach because their bills are due. And God told him, he said, they don't tithe. And he's like, God, I don't want to get on it. I don't want to get on it. He had to meet with that minister after church and talk to him about tithing. But see, people, you're not loving me. I am, the best I know how. See, we've been over and over. Love, the love of God is not like the world. The world's love is an emotion. It is how you make me feel, what you do. Who is all of that about? All of my love is supposed to be about God, His things, and other people, right? Don't even think about myself. I'll take care of you. You just do what I tell you to do. I'll take care of you. But you got fivefold ministers. They don't tithe. And I know why you're broke. Because according to Scripture, you're a thief. And you think because you're ministry. I tell you, I really don't like titles. Because a lot of times, and I'm not talking about people shouldn't have them. But what happens, I've seen over the years, a lot of times you give somebody a title and their head gets about this big. And their heart gets about this big. And now they something, and now they different than everybody else. They don't need to go to church. They don't need to tithe. They don't need to work in the ministry of helps. Are you kidding me? But then you take those. I'm not kidding. We have put a title as door greeter on people before. Just door greeter. And you would have thought we would have told them you're the pastor. I mean, seriously. But some of these people, they don't tithe, they don't give, they don't go to church nowhere. And nothing to you, brother. It's just the ones I have seen. I'm sure you're not like that. Evangelist. I find, and we've been over it and over, in Ephesians chapter 5, what is it that says they're all in the same line? He give them all to what? To the church, didn't he? To equip the saints. Not you run out there and do your own thing and be a little island to yourself. That's why you ain't got nothing. Ain't nobody coming to your meetings. Don't nobody here want to hear what you got to say because you got nothing. Because, see, when we don't get in our place that we're supposed to be, we don't have the grace we need to have. But when we get in our place where we're supposed to be, then we have the grace. He moves and something happens because I can do nothing on my own. But when I obey Him and He does it, oh, you can see it. And it's always good. Oh, help us, Jesus. Do I even have a minute? Anyway. We'll have to finish this another day, or we'll get to move on if we got it, I guess. I don't know. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or comments or anything before we close? You know, and I know sometimes the way I say things sometimes can sound kind of hard. And God is not getting on. He's trying to equip us. Why? He said it's the doers that get the blessing. And God wants us to walk in the fullness of His blessing. He told Abraham, He said, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. I hope very much that we are a blessing to y'all today somehow. That is the desire of my heart. You see, it's not just for us to be blessed. You see, it says something about us if people can come here and they leave and they was blessed. Amen. I got to stop because our time is up. We will recess till 11.